Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 Studios Weekend Geek Updates special report from the floor of Denver Comic Con, I have Spider-Man. Well, no, I'm just kidding, I have Dirk Ellis, who has been playing Spider-Man for the duration of the con.
That's correct.
Dirk, welcome to the podcast. What's it like to be Spider-Man?
It can be painful in the knees.
Because it never looked like it was comfortable for any kind of wall crawling whatsoever.
Right. The Spider-Man character is an awesome character to play. I love doing it. It's the most, out of all the characters I've ever played, it's probably the most popular and most demanded, but it also requires quite a bit of physicality to make it look good.
Well, you are a specimen. I have to compliment the physique.
Thank you.
You, if I were to...
It's all smoke and mirrors. It's CGI, really.
Smoke and mirrors, baby. Smoke and mirrors. You have the physique of what I would expect Spider-Man to look like.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And how do you breathe through the mask?
It doesn't... It actually, out of all the costumes I've ever worn, it's actually the most breathable.
Really?
It's really just spandex. The costume that I wear from Marvel is all spandex. So it's very breathable compared to my other costumes. It doesn't mean I don't get hot in it, but I can actually breathe fairly well. The compression of the spandex does compress my mouth a little bit, so
right.
It's kind of hard. It sounds like I'm talking like this kind of in the costume. But other than that, it's okay. I make do.
So anything in the movies is all ADR. We know that for a fact.
I'm very certain that it, yes. Yes.
Now, you say that out of all the costumes you have worn, what other costumes have you sported?
Well, within just Marvel alone, I've done all the major ones. I also play Captain America quite a bit.
I can see the Chris Evans similarities there.
And I do Thor as well. It comes with a wig and everything. I usually grow the scruff out.
Well, you kind of, you got to be burly.
I talk like Thor. I walk around and I raise my mighty Mjolnir to the sky.
And I've other done other characters like Iron Man, which is a very difficult costume. And I've done Hulk and Ant-Man. I've done Ant-Man as well.
You've done an Ant-Man?
Yes. That one's that costume you don't want to be outside with. It's a very hot costume.
It doesn't look very wearer-friendly.
It's not. It's a tough one. And those are the ones I've done for Marvel. But I've also done other characters for Disney. I've worked in about 7 different theme parks around the world.
Holy! So you are a professional theme parker.
I am been for the last 12 years a professional character performer.
Holy crap!
Yeah, that's why when people ask if I'm a cosplayer, I say unfortunately I can't credit myself as a cosplayer. I'm just an actor. I live in LA. I do acting and stunts out there. And the last 12 years I've been doing costume character work for companies.
Wow, that's quite the span, though. I mean, what is that regimen? Because you can't,
right.
You can't miss leg day.
No, I cannot. That is very true. I started when I was 23, and about a year or two later, I became a Power Ranger for Disney. And I did Power Rangers for 2.5 years.
Oh, crap.
And that was a workout in itself, just performing as a Power Ranger, doing all the moves. I then eventually was promoted within Disney to doing Darth Maul. I worked with Ray Park on stage. I did a show with him.
That is
friends.
Awesome.
I still contact him every once in a while. I actually had a Skype conversation with him last year. It was pretty fun.
I would love to hang out with Ray Park because I loved him as the Toad in X-Men.
Yes, yes.
The man is just simply... awesome, but he doesn't talk.
No.
He's just a badass.
And he's a super nice guy in person.
He's short, too.
Yeah, he's, I'm not sure how tall he is exactly, but he's stocky. He's a pretty strong-looking dude.
Now, so when you work with Ray Park, did you spar with him, or what kind of training have you taken? Because that doesn't seem like a light afternoon.
Right, exactly. What we did was a show called Trip to the Mall, but it was spelled M-A-U-L.
Okay.
And, yeah, exactly. And what they did was they showed a big, they had 1,000 people in the theater, and they showed a big, montage of Darth Maul.
Oh, and this is the episode I've heard about this, where they did the theater thing, and he came out and performed on stage.
Yes, what they did was they introduced Ray Park, and I came out as Darth Maul, and people thought I was him. So I go out there and I twirl the bo staff around, and we had already had rehearsals for all this, and I'm looking all, you know, awesome and everything. And I look at the audience, and then he does, like, I don't know, a front flip out on the stage as himself. And that's when the audience really goes nuts.
Lost their shit.
And they're like, oh, my gosh, there's two of them, you know. And he looks at me, and he gives me this little wink and kind of gives me this, like, come on, let me see the bo staff.
Let's do it.
And he completely shows me up.
Of course he does.
Amazing.
This is
amazing.
What he does
this
for a living.
This is what he does. This is him.
This is like sparring with Jackie Chan.
And I tell, yeah, and I tell you, during the rehearsal, the most surreal moment I've ever had in my life was when we are doing the rehearsal together. He comes up and he's like, hey, nice to meet you, mate. How's it going? You know, well, let's do this thing back and forth, you know. And he looks at me. He does this little move, and he looks at me. And the look he gave me, holy shit, Darth Maul just stares down at me.
You the
it was the
look.
Scariest thing I had ever seen in my life.
There's a little poo that just kind of shot out right there.
I need to change my pants. And we did that, and he shows me up, and I walk off the stage in shame, and it was such an amazing, amazing performance. And then it was like a year later, I got to play Tarzan for Disney World.
Wow.
And then about 2 years later, they sent me to Hong Kong, and I was Tarzan for their Spanish web act up on stage on a – it was like a Cirque du Soleil type of thing.
Holy crap.
And that began my world traveling right there. And I went to Singapore after that and Taiwan, and I was in Hawaii just 4 days ago. I was in Guam last year about this time.
Damn. So you are like world traveler.
I'm going
to
a lot of
places.
You're
not even like intercontinental or national. You are world traveler.
I was in Saudi Arabia 4 months ago.
What was that like?
It was crazy. It was crazy. Well,
because that's a hot zone.
Yeah, yeah. It was. We didn't have a whole. I was with four or five other Marvel guys, and we were doing a show on stage. It was a stunt show with mixed with some motivational speaking, and we went out there for like 4 days. But it was really get there, perform, sleep, perform, sleep, perform, leave on the plane.
Right.
We didn't have any chance to see the country, which it was mostly sand and buildings that
a lot of were, hot.
Yeah, a lot of hot. But the people were super nice to us. They loved us. The men and women, they were all great. It was a different culture, of course.
Wow.
But it was something really to see. It was really cool.
So Marvel has absolutely opened doors for you. I mean, this
helped me a lot.
Taking you places you probably never dreamed of.
Absolutely. The cosplayers that are here that spend so much time on their costumes and they love what they're doing, I get this the benefit of... The costume gets shipped to my house, and Marvel sends me an email. This is where you're going. Here's your rental car. Here's your hotel. Here's your...
Pack the bag.
All the stuff, and there you go, and let us know how it goes.
Wow. So out of all the costumes that you've worn, is there a character that you're like, why can't I do him? Can have you put in requests to Marvel?
You know, out of all the characters I perform, every one of them has their pros and cons. I love Spider-Man because I can really cut up. I play Deadpool for this company called Batman Sun Productions.
Okay.
And that's one of my main characters. And I really get to improv and do a lot of comedy with them and talk, just say whatever's on my mind.
Right.
I kind of do that a little bit in Spider-Man because Spider-Man's kind of
he's
kind of
edgy and
yes,
comedic.
Exactly. I try not to be too edgy, but, you know, child-friendly edgy almost. You
right.
know? And then Captain America is awesome because I show my face. You know, I talk like this. And, hey, kids, how's it going? But...
You're a Boy Scout.
I'm a Boy Scout. You know, I got to be very proper. With Spider-Man, I can cut up a little bit more. They each have their own pros and cons. I like a mixture of everything, really. Okay. There's not really a one favorite that I like to do. I did Hulk a month ago, and I had so much fun doing Hulk.
You'd just be angry all day.
I was. I was angry and confused at everything.
So now, growing up, how much of a background in comics did you have? Because, I mean, this is like... This is a nerd's dream job. Minus the working out. Right. I mean, this is a nerd's dream job.
Right. You know, if you look at an interview by Chris Evans, him who plays Captain America,
he does Captain America very well.
He's one of my idols.
Did the Human Torch and the Fantastic Four?
He was asked the same question: were you into the comic books? And he actually was not. And I had a few Superman comics growing up, and I read those. But I was more interested in the movie aspect of comic superheroes. I loved watching the movies and the special effects and the drama, the action, the music, everything. So I didn't really have a very large array of comics to study, but I was into video games, you know, and going outside and getting hurt, and I'm from Texas, and so I was always in the woods all the time.
Rub some dirt on it, and you get back out there.
Exactly, you know, so I wasn't really into the comic books that much, but as I got older and I started getting into this world, I was educating myself enough to where I could play the characters well enough to where it would, you know, do it justice.
Nice.
Yeah.
So if you had a childhood hero, who would it be?
Well, the first one that popped up in my mind was Terminator.
I can guess I can go with that one. The second one, works.
I'm not sure who my childhood hero would be as far as the comic book world would go. Like I said, I didn't really, when I was growing up, I don't remember a whole lot of these awesome movies coming out. They were kind of already done, and there was a period in the 80s and 90s.
It was a bit of a vacuum.
It was a little bit, yeah, exactly. Then Spider-Man came out with Tobey Maguire, and then number 2 was released on DVD, and that's when I had my first gig as Spider-Man I ever did.
Wow.
And it was at a Walmart in Orlando, Florida.
Mark Silvestri, who's a comic book artist, he drew X-Men. He's dressed up as Captain America. That's his one thing that Marvel made him do.
Okay.
And I mean, Silvestri's a bit of a specimen as well.
Right.
And he's a the man. God love his soul, but he's like, God, I hated wearing the Captain America suits. Now the movies that have come out. I mean, are you following the movies now?
I try my best. I try to follow them as much as possible. I'm on a lot of plane flights, so I try to catch up on them when I'm on.
That's
planes.
A good time. I'm thinking.
Exactly. I also write a lot of scripts. I'm on planes. I try my best. I am behind on a few. I know the Homecoming just is coming
up this
out.
Week.
Okay. The last one I saw was Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
Loved it.
Nice.
Loved it. I went there with a friend of mine, Kevin Porter, who plays Batman for this company as well, and we had such a great time watching that movie. It was an amazing movie. Before that, I think I saw Civil War. There might have been a few before that.
You've got Guardians in there.
I never saw Guardians.
Oh, my
Guardians.
God, sinner.
I know. I've got to check that out, exactly.
So now, you've hinted at your acting career. You're living in L.A. I mean, this doesn't consume all of you. What else are you up to doing?
So I do this kind of on a part-time basis. Sometimes it goes to full-time, but right now I'm in L.A., and I'm doing a lot of acting and a lot of stunt work. And I'm trying right now to produce my own show. I am producing my own show right now. It's going to be a YouTube-based show. It's going to be about superheroes. And it's a new market kind of, I think, of video. It's the videos the films and scripts I write are usually action or drama or suspense-based with a comedic twist to them.
Nice.
So I'm producing a show called Real Heroes. And it's by my production company called Ellis Evolve Productions, which you can find on Facebook.
Okay.
And it's going to... I filmed 15 episodes already.
That is a commitment. That's not a hobby. That is like full-blown production right
now.
There.
Now, the episodes are very short. If I plan them right, I can film each episode in one day, if I film them just right.
Wow,
they're only 5 minutes or less.
So is this like a POV type of thing?
No, they're actually, it's very movie-based, you know, multi-cam and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Or multi-angles with one camera. But each episode shows or depicts a superhero we all know and love doing something that they are good at, and then they stumble upon something, an error that we face as regular people every day. That could be... You ever have been in a conversation and you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you got to sneeze?
Yes.
And it just throws you off. You're like, sorry. And then you get back into it.
Yeah. That's what I've blown people out of the chair when I sneeze. So, I'm right there with
you. Or a trip and fall. Or anything that could be, you know, relatable to a human. That's what my superheroes in my films experience. And when it does that, it cuts out all the music, all the cool effects, everything, and they turn into a human for a split second.
See, I've always wanted to see Captain America struggle with a box of cereal. I want to see Cap just sitting there.
All right.
Wearing the helmet, you know, and boxers and briefs, but he's got the helmet on, and he's messing with, and he's just like, son of a...
Not a bad idea. I'll write that on the
write that
burner.
On that, put that on the back burner.
Absolutely.
Just an idea. I personally wanted to see.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I got Captain America in 2 episodes. One of them, he's tripping and falling. The other one, he just defeated 3 bad guys. He had thrown his shield earlier, and it bounced off a building. And when he's talking to the bad guy, it comes up and hits him in the back of the head. He falls out of frame. There's, like, dead silence. And then he comes back up in frame. He's like, and next time, remember. You know, he goes back into his speech. It's going to be pretty good.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. Yeah, exactly.
So now, how long have you been living in L.A.? Because, I mean, this
5 years.
Is... 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. And that makes you a success. I mean, because I've had actor friends go make it a year, maybe two, and they're like...
99% of my friends who have come out there have left already.
Wow.
Every year is getting better. I'm going to be associate producing on a film when I get back from Thailand in a few weeks. And then working on my episode, getting the music done, getting all the editing done, the CGI, the voiceovers, everything.
Right.
Working very hard on it.
So as a stunt person, because that's the aspect that I've always wanted to try.
Sure.
And, you know, you think, all right, I'm tough, I can do this. How much goes into being a stunt person?
It's a lot of networking, a lot of hustling, staying in shape is a...
I would think a key element.
Yeah. Paying attention is staying focused and learning from the other stuntmen when they teach you how to do something. And the biggest thing I've learned is staying in control. When you're delivering a punch, when you're taking a punch... not going crazy over the top, because
right?
Then that's when people
not
hurt.
Like the wild haymakers or anything. Everyone's like, oh, I'm just no.
Exactly. And having a background in some type of martial arts or gymnastics,
a discipline
helps. Some type of discipline helps a lot. Yes.
Now, what are you trained in personally?
Well, when I was a kid, I was in Taekwondo. When I got older, I got a little bit... I was a prison guard, believe it or not, when I was 20 or 21 years old. Jeez. I was a maximum security prison guard in Texas. I have an interesting story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You should, like, turn this into a movie.
I thought about it, actually. and I learned self-defense classes and martial arts. When I got to Disney, I trained in Power Rangers, which helped me with the flashy side of martial arts, making
right.
poses look good. And at the same time, I was taking kung fu classes. So I learned just enough to get to where I could hold my own in
okay.
a martial arts film. Not be an expert by any means. I'm not going to be doing any Jean-Claude Van Damme roundhouse jumping kicks.
Nobody wants to see that anyway. We don't need any more Van Damage. It's
yeah.
It's been done.
But I did enough to where I could handle my own. And so when I get put into a film... And they want me to do... I mean, I just did a boxing film up in San Francisco a couple weeks ago. And I was able to look good enough on camera to pull it off where the camera angles take care of the rest.
Right. How many takes does it take? I mean, when you go in there... I mean, because I've been on sets. I've done a few independent films. Last one was with Tony Todd. And he carries the scene. I mean, you just show up, let Tony... You know.
Right, right.
When you're in charge of the action, I mean, it's resting on your shoulders.
Right.
I mean, how much do you deal with? How many... What goes into that preparation?
Yeah, it's usually you do shoot what's called a previs, which is kind of like shooting a pre-video to the director, so the director can see what it's going to look like, and you've already kind of got it rehearsed and mapped out of all your moves, and it's in beats, and you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you know, he hits me right here, and you fall down, you get back up. It's kind of all sectioned out into pieces,
right?
And then you film it, and it's a lot. For me, at least, mentally, because you got all the background in place, watching.
Going around.
The director's over here. You got the producer over here that's paying you a lot of money. You got the stunt coordinator over here that needs you to do this. And then
right.
you got the other guy in front of you that you don't want to hurt. And you don't want him to hurt you.
This is the one you're not trying to mess up.
Exactly. And sometimes it's the main actor.
Oh.
So you got to be really, really careful, you know.
Have you accidentally hit someone?
Yes, I have. I hit Yoshi Sadarsu, who is the Blue Ranger on the last season of the Power Rangers. I hit him during a filming of one of these shows with I think I hit him in the face with a lightsaber. And then, even better story, I got hit in a very bad place.
Oh, by a gentleman sausage?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was, this is a great story. I was hit by a stunt girl. Her name is Nancy McCrum on the set of 300 Part 2. Yeah.
It kind of ends at the fall, you know, of the Battle of Thermopylae. I mean, they're done. What's
I know.
Part two?
There's a part two to 300. It's called Rise of an Empire. It
okay.
stars Sullivan Stapleton. And they called me in, believe it or not, to do the intimacy scene, otherwise known as the sex scene.
Oh,
they had
you were a stunt cock.
That's exactly yes. I like how the cameraman's even laughing.
Oh, even Ken's like, oh, I know what this is.
I got called in, and they said, we want to know if you're interested in a principal stunt part. And I go, yes, I am. What movie? And they go, well, it'll be 300 Part 2. And I'm like, yeah. And they go, but we need to ask you one question. I go, what's that? I go, are you comfortable with nudity?
I'm comfortable seeing it. Of course I am.
Like, principal stunt part. You know, I was new in L.A. at the time, and I
yeah.
go, you know what? I'm like Alice in Wonderland. Yes.
Bring it on.
Just go. Go with it. Whatever. So I get there, and it turns out it's a sex scene. Now, I'm going to be covered up, obviously, you know. And
you have the green sock.
I have a little sock on
right.
thing, yeah. And I can't believe I'm talking about this on
this
podcast.
Is awesome.
This is great. So they have the scene mapped out in Eva Green's
You're in the principal sex scene where he comes over
yes.
to talk peace
and
you got Eva Green
yeah and they had this fight and
yeah,
it turns into a fight
up
into
the
a
wall.
Yeah exactly it turns into an intimacy thing so it's so violent they had to call in two stunt doubles for her and for him to double them in this.
Holy damn
so
it.
When you watch the film, you'll see them, they're doing their thing.
Right.
That's them, and you see their faces, that's them. But when you see them slamming each other into the, you know, ripping each other's clothes off and pulls them on the, that's me. And that's Nancy McCrum out there.
Wow, because I mean, they even make reference of it later in the movie of, if you fucked like you fight, this would have been over a long time ago.
You're welcome.
Yes, holy shit. So wait a second. You got up close to Eva Green.
She, well, I was, I wasn't the one with Eva Green.
Oh, okay.
I was there for the scene when they were filming it.
Yep, cut.
I was watching, yes, basically.
The damn it doll. Okay.
And there was one part where I was laying on the table, and Nancy McCrum got up on top, and she accidentally kneed me in a bad spot.
Ooh.
And
well, it's kind of hanging out.
Ooh, yeah. I was, ooh, and she said she owed me a six-pack for that. So.
It might be worth it, though. I mean, that isn't, holy crap.
Yeah.
I don't think, I don't even think I could even.
So next time you watch 300, you'll see my naked ass go across the camera.
Wow.
I was very tan, though. It's okay.
That's, you know.
Yeah, they tanned me.
Well, you were a Spartan. You should be tan if you're going to be a Spartan.
I got to be a Spartan for a short while. I got directed by Zack Snyder on the set of 300 for 3 days.
What was it like working with Zack?
He was really cool because I didn't really get to talk to him a whole lot, but the story that I tell everybody, what was funny about him is he would be like, okay, let's reset, guys. Let's get the lights. Okay, let's get... All right, let's roll cameras. Okay, here we go. Everybody get ready. All right. Oh, guys, this morning I stopped by Starbucks today, right? And he would just go into this story, and we'd be laughing. Everybody would just cry. Okay, let's get back into filming again. You know, he was so cool. He was so laid. I liked him a lot. He was a nice guy.
Because I've always wanted to interview Zach. Because Zach would be great just to sit down and just let him go. Because I've heard that about him where he just goes off on tangents.
Yeah.
And you're like...
Yeah,
you're
sitting
there with your bum hanging out.
And I'm over here, and I've got Nancy McCrum right there, and we're ready to do this. And he's talking about a coffee that he got from Starbucks, and we're just all laughing and just having a good time. And like, wow, this is like what $1,000 like a second right
the
here.
The most surreal moment in your career.
It was, like, great. It was. And I'd only been in LA for a year at the time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So now, did you actually go to acting school, or did you
went
performing
to
arts?
Yeah, I studied theater very little in high school and throughout school, and I was in a few plays. I got into college, I studied music. I was a drummer for a long time.
You got to keep rhythm, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I was a drummer. I became a professional drummer for a little while in Florida for about 3 years, and that was how I made my living at the time. But before that, I was studied music. I studied theater, and then when I got to Florida and I was there for 5 years, I went to acting school. When I went to Singapore, Hong Kong, and then I came to California. I've taken quite a few classes.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
you're like the magic mic that nobody knows.
I'm waiting on a stage to perform on. I'm waiting to, you know, rip the shirt off and, you know,
just
see what we can do.
Work over a convenience store clerk and just mess her up.
You know? Yep. Exactly.
So now what's on the horizon? I mean, I'm really interested in the shorts that you got going for the 15 episodes. I mean, where can we see that? Where is that accessible?
Well, my YouTube channel is called Ellis Evolve Productions. E-L-L-I-S. Ellis Evolve Productions. And I have a Facebook as well called Ellis Evolved Productions as well, and that I load up a lot of pictures and behind the scenes stuff on there of what I'm making at the current moment. I was just in Hawaii a week ago, and I filmed two episodes while I was out there. I filmed The Punisher and Tarzan.
Wow.
And they're going to be really funny. They're going to be awesome.
And I do love The Punisher. There was the one fan film with Thomas Jane
uh-huh.
that he did where he was the Punisher at a laundromat.
Oh, okay.
And it is absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
And so what's your Punisher?
The Punisher episode, he's going to be rescuing a girl. She's in a concentration camp, or what do you call it? Like an illegal compound out in the woods. Kind of like Burma or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And he's rescuing a girl that's in a cage. And he sets off a couple of charges with the bombs, and they explode. It doesn't kill everybody, and he has two mercenaries like coming after him. So he takes off running through the forest. He's looking all badass, and he's running, got some slow-mo shots, jumping off of logs and rolling down hills and everything. And they're approaching him. They're about, you know, 100 yards away. He gets to the edge of a cliff, and it's like a 40-foot fall down into a lake.
Like Butch Cassidy in Sundance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he gets there, and of course he's got to jump off, right? And he turns into a bit of a...
Cock up?
Yeah, a bit of a pussy there. And he can't jump off. He's like, ho. Oh. And he's like, I can't. And he's like trying to climb down the edge. And he's like, what do I do? You know, he's right. scared to jump off this ledge, which probably anybody could do.
Right.
So he climbs down the side. And while he's doing this, the music, the intense music is done. And it's still showing these guys running up after him. He gets down to the very bottom. He still wants to look like a badass. So instead of running off, he's like, he dives into the water. It's unnecessary. Swims to the edge. Gets out of the water. The music starts back up. Here come the two guys, and they see, oh my gosh, he's jumped off. And he flips them off, and then he keeps on running. So it's kind of a moment where he's trying to look badass to the mercenaries.
I did it.
I did it. You try it. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you can find all the behind the scenes stuff on El Saval Productions. I have a fan page called Dirk Ellis Official Page, or a fan page if you want, and Instagram DirkEllis82.
So Dirk, what's the dream role? I mean, going to LA, I know you had, you know, the vision. All of us have it. I mean, even as a voice actor or voiceover guy, they have what's the role. What's your holy grail?
You know, if I landed a role with a Marvel movie as a superhero, that would be a dream come true. If I landed a role in some sequel, I always thought it'd be, I know this is a crazy idea, I always thought it'd be an amazing movie if they produced a part two to Dances with Wolves. And I was the son grown up.
They did. It's called Avatar.
Yes. That's very true. Something like that. I mean, it's a long shot, but some people say you set your goals small and work up to them. Some people take that rock and throw it as far across the lake as they possibly can, and they land it somewhere, wherever they land it, and they just keep on trying, and that's kind of the person I am. And, of course, I'm setting little goals as I go as well. But
you got to keep yourself motivated.
Have you ever seen The Founder?
Yes, I have.
The speech about persistence.
Yes.
It's one of the most important things I think you can have out here, out in L.A.
Yeah, and
anywhere, really.
Be like water. Water is patient. Water takes any form.
That's very true. I agree with that. It's Bruce Lee, I believe.
It is Bruce Lee. Yes. Correct. Yes. You are correct. Yeah. It's Bruce Lee philosophy.
Yep.
This is Denver Comic Con this weekend. What's next weekend?
Well, actually, next weekend, we'll see. After
I let you get this glazed over.
I gotta figure out what am I doing.
Shit, I'm in Denver. Where do I go next?
I've traveled so much recently. Tomorrow, actually, after I get done here, I've got to fly out. And I got to fly. I'm flying to Texas. I'm visiting my family out there for the fourth.
Wow.
So I'm very lucky to do that. I was able to fit that into a very small little opening in my schedule. Window.
Where's the family at? I know they're not in LA.
Tyler, Texas.
Oh,
Tyler, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going out there. My dad puts on a huge, huge fireworks show. I mean, launches his fireworks from a control board. That's how big they are.
Oh, my God. That's pyrotechnics.
Yeah, he's really
good
at that. And he's self-taught. Yeah. It's probably not legal.
Military background or some shit?
No. He was a district manager for Walmart for 32 years.
We had a special on this in the hardware section,
exactly.
And I want to see what it does.
Yeah, he looked up on YouTube how to make your own gunpowder. I mean, like, it's insane. And his shells are, like, this big. He launches them out of giant tubes out of the ground. It's amazing.
Holy crap.
And I'm leaving from there after I check that out. Going back, I'll be in L.A. for one day where I have to drive up north about 4 hours to do a Spider-Man gig at a water park. Coming back down to L.A. With my girlfriend, we're going to Thailand for her 30th birthday.
Oh.
And then I got some more gigs coming up after that.
Very nice. And so if the listeners at home want to follow you, what is the best way to follow the adventures?
You know, I load a lot of cool stuff up on my Instagram.
Okay.
Which is DirkEllis82. And then my fan page on Facebook, DirkEllis Official Page. You can find me on there. And, those are the two best places. I don't use Twitter a whole lot. I just kind of share things to Twitter.
Yeah,
I haven't really
horrible
Twitter,
at Twitter.
Really. I haven't. I mean, sometimes I'll think of a funny quote and I'll post it on there, you know. But other than that, I don't really use Twitter a lot, you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of
with you. And then that Ellis Evolved Facebook.
All right.
As well.
So, Dirk, the final question that I'll ask you before I let you go, because I know you're a busy man and you got a flight to catch. It involves your Hollywood roots. Who is the better villain? Tim Curry, Alan Rickman, or Christopher Walken?
Man. Christopher Walken, like, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I do voice impressions, too.
Nice. It's even better.
Yeah. I'm more familiar with Christopher Walken.
Okay.
I would have to say him.
Christopher Walken?
I like him when he just, like in the movie Joe Dirt, when he turns
the janitor.
Fire extinguisher's like, and he's talking to me all wrong. It's the wrong tone. You do that again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron. I just thought that was so funny.
So did you see Eight Psychopaths?
No, I have not seen.
Oh my god! I haven't seen that yet. Him and Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Brilliant. All right,
I'm gonna check that out definitely.
But I mean, of course, Walken's greatest scene is with Pulp Fiction.
Yes, yes.
I mean,
I remember from Batman
when he's the dad.
That's what I remember he kills.
He's Max.
Yeah, Max. That's mm-hmm. what it is. He kills Catwoman or the
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah. That's what I remember the most.
I'm going to toss her out a bigger window.
Yeah, I was just jumping a bigger window. It'd be great.
Excellent. Dirk, thank you so much.
Hey, it's been great.
The best podcast ever. I appreciate your time. Good luck out there.
Hopefully
we hear... Are you going to come back to Denver anytime soon?
Or? I hope so. Marvel may... I mean, this is a huge Comic-Con. I mean, after 5 years, I can't believe it's grown this much.
It's huge. Every year, boom, boom.
Wow.
Boom.
Well, that's good. That's very good to hear.
You should come back. I mean, next week... Well, you won't be able to next week, but the Rockies are doing Marvel Night.
Oh, wow.
So, okay. I mean,
I'm hoping Marvel brings me back, or I'll be brought back for... I mean, with Bat in the Sun and with my own stuff, I usually get on panels every once in a while.
Right.
So hopefully I will be joining you guys up here.
I would like
this.
That would be
wonderful.
Excellent. Yes. Dirk, thank you for sitting in.
Thank you so much, man.
And in the end, we're all stories, so make it a good one.